by somebody who covers the NBA for the New York Times, the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He is a Cal State Fullerton and Big West Conference legend, a friend of the program, and a recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award. Mark Stein is my guest. Mark, good to have you back. How are you?
Mr. Rome, I am good.
Good. It's great to have you. So let me ask you about last night's game, Mark. When you see Golden State come back the way they did in the third quarter, it felt like a throwback Thursday. How did it feel to you to see them come back from 17 down, take a five-point lead in a matter of roughly 10 minutes? Were you flashing back to their old days?
I've seen this movie a few times, I have to say. But it's really the style of play that they're playing. I mean, they really have turned back the clock, and it's amazing when you think that, you know, they've played such a different style offensively with Durant, and that they can, when the most is on the line, finishing off game five in Houston, finishing off the game five at home against Houston without Durant when he gets hurt, winning the game six at Houston this way, overturning that kind of deficit when Portland had them rocked. It's amazing. I mean, you know, look, Stephen Curry's the engine. We know that. And Klay Thompson, I mean, these guys have been the best backcourt in the league for a half decade now. But Iguodala and Draymond Green look fantastic. And that's a big reason why this is happening.
I could not agree more, and I want to ask you about both those guys in a minute, but going back to this notion of Kevin Durant, what that offense is like without him, Steph is averaging 46 points per 48 minutes without Durant. His brother Seth has said that the Warriors are actually tougher to defend without Durant. What do you make of that comment, and then how different does the offense feel without Kevin Durant?
I would respectfully disagree. Look, the ball is flying around more, and you could say aesthetically, it's a prettier style, but there are also a lot of mistakes thrown in when the Warriors play this way, and they were very loose in the first half. And you see when they're not locked in and not focused, and, I mean, it starts with defense even for them. As much as we talk about their offensive firepower, if they're not locked in defensively, rebounding the ball, creating turnovers, getting out in the open court, it's not going to work because, you know, when they have Durant, they just have, you know, he is truly unguardable. I mean, there is no one one-on-one who can deal with Kevin Durant. He can shoot over anyone. So don't buy the notion that they're better without him. I know people want to say that. Are they more entertaining as a watch without him? I think sometimes you can certainly argue that, but their margin for error goes way, way down without Kevin Durant, and they know it. And look, this is a limited Portland team. Incredible effort for the Blazers to get this far and to win a game seven in Denver, which I promise you is no layup. But this is not a Western Conference Finals roster, especially without Nurkic out injured. So it's going to be much tougher. Whoever they see in the finals, the Bucks or the Raptors, you know, I think they do need Durant to win that series. I do.
Mark Stein is joining us right now. All right, so Mark, go back to the two guys that you mentioned. When you look at Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, how much was last night about Green dropping a few pounds and about Iguodala appearing to never age?
Yeah, I mean, look, Draymond Green has been sensational. And all season long, you know, he looked heavier. He was, you know, he would say it was injury-related. He, you know, both of those guys impact the game so much and often without shooting. And it looks sometimes like neither one wants to shoot. And, you know, Draymond Green struggled with the three ball all year long. It's looked better in the playoffs. And he's really found a groove offensively. I mean, he's doing it all right now. But so, you know, the playmaking ability that Draymond Green has, as a defensive anchor and playmaker, he's so unique at that size. As an under, you know, a small ball five, the way he plays, and Iguodala the same. You know, he had Iguodala made the five threes in the closeout game against the Rockets, and that was the most threes he's made in the playoff game in 5-6 years. But you know, he hasn't been shooting the ball well in this series, but still such a factor defensively. And I mean, you know, the pieces just fit. And you saw it last night. These guys have been there. They know the situation. They know the terrain. There's really nothing that can happen from a supposed crisis perspective that the Warriors haven't seen. And that's why they found a way last night.
Mark Stein joining us. All right, so in terms of a crisis, losing Kevin Durant might be construed as a crisis. Maybe not for this series, but maybe ultimately. Based on your reporting, and Steve Kerr said that Durant's situation, quote, is a little more serious than we thought at the very beginning, end of quote. Based on your reporting, who's closer to returning, Kevin Durant or DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah, I don't think there's any questions that it's Cousins. And that was definitely the buzz. That's been the buzz around the team really since the later stages of the Houston series. When the Warriors finished off the Rockets, you know, I was told pretty strongly, you know, there's a good chance we'll see DeMarcus in the conference finals as long as he stays on his current progress. I think they've slowed that down to a degree. There's not as much of an urgency to rush Cousins back. Had it been Denver against Golden State in this round, I think they really would have needed Cousins, who has historically done very well and given Jokic problems. Without Jokic out there, there's not as much of an urgency, I think, for Golden State to get him back on the floor. And they also want to still be cautious. You know, DeMarcus Cousins is on the floor. Unlike Durant, Cousins is on the floor, but he's still moving slowly and kind of working his way back in. And as Steve Kerr said, he hasn't really played in any live ball situation. So I think if this was a long series, we would see Cousins in the later stages, but this right now doesn't look like a long series. So the Warriors are going to, it appears the Warriors will have the luxury of winning this thing and not having to even worry about trying to get those guys back. But look, everyone wants to know about Durant. There's still 2 weeks until the final, and it's a calf strain. It's more serious than the Warriors thought, but this is just a prediction. I do not have access to the medical reports. No one has told me this, just my prediction. I think we will see Kevin Durant in the finals. I would be surprised. We're seeing him in the hallway. We're seeing him standing. We're seeing him interacting with guys. If the injury was more severe than that, he would be in mothballs somewhere completely out of view. I do think we'll see him in the finals.
I think that's fair. He'd be sequestered otherwise. Mark Stein joining us. Mark, you had a piece in your newsletter this week where you ran down Steve Nash and you talked about the Rockets and what it's like to keep coming up just short. What was that conversation like?
Well, I think we all had that feeling when the Rockets, you know, Durant goes down and the Rockets couldn't even force a game seven. You know, I was traveling. I didn't listen to your show the next day, but I'm guessing on the Monday you probably had some choice words for the Rockets not being able to, you know, keep that series going. I mean, this was their chance for vengeance, and they let it slip. And I think everybody thought, you got to hammer these guys. They blew it. This was the exact inverse of what we saw a year ago when they went up 3-2 but lost Chris Paul. This team's never going to get it done. Harden can't win. Chris Paul can't win. D'Antoni's not a championship coach. Just pile on because the Rockets are done, they're frauds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that was the inclination a lot of people had. But, you know, I've always been a huge D'Antoni fan. I covered those Suns teams really, really closely. He was an offensive revolutionary then, and it's my view, I don't think he's gotten nearly enough credit for going to Houston, playing a completely different style. This is not the style Mike D'Antoni wants to play. He doesn't want to be an isolation coach, but he's got one-on-one players. Harden might be the best one-on-one player, not named Kevin Durant, in the world. He's completely changed his approach. And so I called Nash just to ask him, what was that series like for you? You work for the Warriors as a consultant, but obviously you're still a huge D'Antoni fan. And Nash acknowledged, you know, they know the talk is out there that, you know, Nash has to deal with it too. If you don't win a ring, that stays with you forever. And guys like you and me say you weren't good enough and you have flaws on your resume and holes in your resume. But, you know, Nash made the point over and over. Mike D'Antoni, they're losing to a historic Golden State team with probably four future Hall of Famers in their starting lineup when everybody's healthy. And, you know, who stopped the 7 seconds or less Suns? It was San Antonio over and over and over again. Popovich and Duncan, legends of this game. So Mike D'Antoni, does he have a championship on his resume? No. But there have been some really, really significant obstacles in his way. And so, look, I think I'm in the minority when I say that. I think most people are saying he can't get it done. His style can't win. And I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right.
Mark Stein joining us. All right, then. Now, Mark, before you go, the postseason is a major grind. It's going to take a toll on anybody and everyone. You tweeted the other day, "Why are naps so good when you're old?" That's your tweet. Break it down for me. What is your nap strategy? Where do you take them? How long? And do you set an alarm?
That's the thing. I definitely do not set an alarm. I don't even like to take them. In my head, I'm still, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, trying anything I can do to avoid being forced to take a nap. And, you know, I used to go overseas to visit family in Israel, where even at older ages, they were trying to make me take naps in the afternoon. I hate naps. But the other night, man, I had, after a long, painful overnight writing session, I fell asleep at 6 o'clock Pacific time and missed the first half of Bucks Raptors game one. And no alarm, shameful behavior for me in the middle of the playoffs. But man, it was the best 3 hours of sleep I've had in ages.
It was the best thing ever, wasn't it?
We're old. We're old, man. We were young once.
You know, I want to incorporate it, Mark. People believe in it. People say the power nap is the best thing possible. I can't quite do it. I can't fall out for 15 or 20 minutes. But I will say, I came home yesterday, and like you, I'm getting a little bit older. Knocked out some cardio. Barely made it back to my house. Man, I knocked off for an hour before dinner. I never do that. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it, but it was the best rest I've had since I can't even remember when.
Well, then again,
there you go.
Maybe you shouldn't feel good about it. You did go 3 hours. 3 hours is a long time.
Especially at 6 Pacific. Not a good look.
Especially when you miss a half of a basketball game. It's all right, though, man. You earned it. There's no way you would have done that if you didn't need it. He is Mark Stein. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. He is the man behind the New York Times NBA newsletter. He is a Big West Conference legend and the recipient of the 2019 Kurt Gowdy Media Award. Mark, great job. Thanks for doing that.
Always good to catch up, man.
You too. You're the best. Mark Stein.